Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 22. I am both excited, but I'm a little sad. I always get this way when I get to the end of a book. Now, from what I've gathered, from what I've heard, I've had several people ask me, is this it? Is this the last one? And as I started studying this past week, I came out of my office at one point, and I looked in Deborah's office. It must have been Wednesday or Friday, and I said, no, Wednesday, it was Wednesday. I said, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. I said, there's just so much in the last verses, but I did it. This is the last one. It's just going to take 2 hours. So those of you who wanted to get out of here early, you want it done, so it's going to take 2 hours. Thank you, Bill. Anybody else? Hallelujah. There we go. Thank you. Thank you. No, it's not going to take 2 hours. Last week, we watched as an angel showed John the inner parts of the new city of God. John saw the river of the living water that flowed from the throne of God and described this water as sparkling like crystal, meaning that it was pure and clean. When we learned of this river, we understood that for many who lived on the earth from times past, as well as those who lived during the tribulation, this clean water was a time of great celebration. There would be no more boiling or carrying of water. It was now all clean and at their disposal to all people. John then saw the tree of living of life, or trees of life, that dispensed 12 fruits, one for each month of the year. We learned that this fruit would satisfy every person who was in heaven. John then reminded us again that we would now live in perfect unity with God from this time forward. Tonight, as we finish this book of Revelation, we're going to consider John's and Christ's final words to us. So let's look at Revelation chapter 22, and we're going to start reading in verse 6. Reading in verse 6. Then he said to me, being the angel, then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the spirits of the prophets has sent his angel to show his servants what must quickly take place. Look, I'm coming quickly. Blessed is the one who keeps the prophetic words of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. When I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had shown them to me. But he said to me, don't do that. I am a fellow slave with you, your brothers, the prophets, and those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. He also said to me, don't seal the prophetic words of this book, because the time is near. Let the unrighteous go on in unrighteousness. Let the filthy go on being made filthy. Let the righteous go on in righteousness. And let the holy go on being made holy. Look, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to repay each person according to what he has done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, and the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs. That has no reference to this morning's message. Okay. Outside are the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexual immoral, the murderers, the adulterers, and everyone who loves and practices lying. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to attest these things to you. For the churches, I am the root of the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Both the Spirit and the bride, who is the bride? The church. Both the Spirit and the bride say, come. Anyone who hears should say, come. And the one who is thirsty should come. Whoever desires to take of the living water as a gift, I testify to everyone who hears the prophetic words of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the prophetic book, God will take away his share of the tree of life in the holy city written in this book. He who testifies about these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. Let's pray. Father, as we come tonight at the end of this book, Lord, we understand that it's part of 66 love letters that you wrote to us, specifically to us, for us, about you, about your Son, God, that we might live a holy and a righteous life, not because of anything that's in us, but because you're alive in us. And God, we thank you for it. And Lord, I pray as we finish tonight, you'd help us not to forget what we've learned. You'd help us to always remember that the time is near. The time is near, and we need to be ever present of that in our, and keep that ever present in our thoughts and our minds, God, that we might be a better witness for you. In Christ Jesus' name we do pray, and all God's children said. Tonight we're seeing the last words of John and Christ in the book of Revelation. Now, the first thing we really see is in verse 6, and he says, "Then he said to me, these words are faithful and true." This isn't the first time that we've heard John use these words in Revelation. It seems as if John has at this time, as he has in times past, stopped where he is writing, feeling impressed, to let the reader know the importance of what he has just written. To let the reader know that as unreal as what I just wrote sounds to the human ear, it most definitely is true. Warren Wiersbe says this about those words. He says, because what John wrote is the Word of God, his words are faithful and true. They always have been. They always will be. There's certain things that I love to read. There's certain writers that I love to read. And church, listen, I have to fact check some of the things that they write. I have to look back. There's a pastor who was a writer, and I loved to read what he writes. But some of the things he writes, I have to go back and look, and there's times that I don't agree. But the words that John wrote that were inspired by God through an angel are faithful, and they're true. Now, what John says in verse 6b and what is recorded as Jesus speaking in verse 7 seem to correspond with each other. There's an urgency for us, the reader, to understand that this time is coming quickly. Now, we all know that this was written 2,000 years ago, so what John's early readers may have thought this scripture to mean is not what we need to figure. What this means is that we should always be ready and fully prepared for the return of Christ. He is going to come, and when he comes, he is coming quickly, and there will be no time to make our wrongs right, nor will there be time for that person who has put off accepting Christ to now accept him. We are to be very aware of his timing. This is not the first time John or Jesus has given us this warning in Revelation. Look with me back at chapter 16, verse 15. Chapter 16, verse 15. John records Jesus as saying this, "Look, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who is alert and remains clothed, so that he may not go naked, and they see his shame." He's saying, listen, you need to be ready, and we need to understand these words and understand that the time when Jesus does come is approaching quickly. And when it does come, he's coming quickly. We're not going to have a chance to do everything to make wrongs right. Well, what do we need to do? We need to do that now. There's certain things in each one of our lives that we kind of put off, right? Do them now, especially when it comes to what we're supposed to be doing spiritually. Don't wait any longer. Those who are lost, they need to accept Christ now, because they will not have an opportunity once the trumpet is sound. The harvest will be complete. Do you hear me? The end of verse 7 tells us that those who keep the prophetic words of this book are blessed. The word keep came from the Greek word terero, meaning to reserve, observe, watch, preserve, hold fast to. We are not to forget these words written in this book. We are always to remember and tell others what is going to come and who is coming and who is going to come very quickly. Our lives should be a living testimony. That, listen, Jesus is a part of our lives, and when people see something in our lives, we should be quick to tell them, listen, you need to accept Christ today. Why? Because we don't know when He's coming. And when He does come, He's coming quickly. You need to make that decision today. Scripture says, when is the day of salvation? Today, right now. Now, as we read verses 8 and 9, it should have been reminiscent of John's writing in Revelation 19:10, as it sounds like John is recalling this event and not actually falling at the feet of the angel right then. Okay? He's reminiscing about what he had done throughout the time that he has spent with his angel and he's seen the revelation. Look at verse 8 again. And in your mind as I read it, understand that he's reminiscing about what he had done. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. When I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship. It didn't say he fell down there. He said, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had shown them to me. But he said to me, don't do that. I am a fellow slave with you, your brothers, the prophets, and those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. He also said to me, well, I didn't mean to get to verse 10. But understand what John is saying here. He's reminiscing about what had taken place already, and we studied that in chapter 19, verse 10. Now, John is given a directive by the angel in verse 10. Look what he says in verse 10. Verse 10 says, he said unto me, don't seal the prophetic words of this book, because the time is near. The time is near. So the prophetic word, the directive that the angel gave him was, do not seal this book because the time is near. Warren Wiersbe says, the prophet Daniel, and I hope that you remember this as we studied the book of Daniel, the prophet Daniel was commanded to seal his book, but John was told not to seal his book because the time was not yet, Daniel was told to not seal his book because the time was not yet ready. John's book is an apocalypse, an unveiling, and therefore it must not be sealed. John's book, the book of Revelation, was and is important for all believers to see, understand, and fully expect at any time. Now, it's also important for the unbeliever. Now, do you recall, and I've brought this up several times, how many major judgments are coming in Revelation? We've got the seal judgments. We've got the bowl judgments. We've got the trumpet judgments. Are there any others? Who said that? Hey, yeah. The thunder judgments. What do we know about the thunder judgments? Nothing. Yeah, we know they're coming. And we know that there's a progression from the seals and the trumpets and then the thunders and then the bowls, right? They're progressively getting worse. So the thunder judgments, we know they're going to be greater than the seal judgments and the trumpet judgments, right? That's about all we know. That's been sealed off for me. We don't have a clue what's coming, right? Book of Daniel was sealed at that time. Book of Revelation never has been. But Kyle, what are you saying here? Do you remember when you were lost and you were trying to find your way? Do you remember? Do you remember when you picked up a Bible and you tried to understand it? How many of y'all remember when you were lost picking up the Bible and going to the book of Revelation? I do. I remember it. I didn't understand what I was reading, but can I tell you something? What I was reading scared me. Do y'all remember that? Why? Because it's supposed to. If you're lost, you're going to experience this. It ought to scare you. I would tell you, and those y'all saw when I was on Facebook, I was always telling people, listen, you need to go read the first 16 chapters of the book of Revelation. Why? Because if you're lost, it will scare you to death. And if it doesn't, it should. It should scare you to death. Tell your lost friends in love. Don't say it in malice. You dirty, rotten scoundrel. Go read the first 16 chapters of the book of Revelation. You'll see who you really are. No, don't do that. But when they laugh at you, and when they mock you, and when they tell you that you're serving a fable, just look at them and say, listen, do you have a Bible in your house? Everybody has a Bible in their house. Most people have a Bible in their house. And listen, I know where you can talk to a man about buying a Bible. Okay, listen to me. Encourage them to read the first 16 chapters of the book of Revelation. And ask them, hey, did you read that? Most, they'll lie to you. But, I mean, they'll try to read some of it. But ask them, did it scare you what you were reading? And if they're honest, they'll tell you, yeah. And it'll give you an opportunity to say, well, it should. But it shouldn't. It doesn't have to. If you'll accept Christ today, you don't have to be scared of the book of Revelation. Christians, we shouldn't be afraid of the book of Revelation because we're going to be on the other side of the veil. But we should be, as we look at this book, it ought to scare us for those who are going to live here and be alive here tremendously. Now, John is then told in verse 11 to let those who are doing what they are doing to continue what they're doing, not that these things do not have, these who are doing these things don't have a chance to accept Christ right now, but when the ultimate time comes, we will not have time to persuade them any longer. The time of the harvest is now. Brother Kyle, what are you talking about? Listen to what he says here. He says, let the unrighteous go on in unrighteousness. Let the filthy go on being made filthy. Let the righteous go on in righteousness. And let the holy go on being made holy. When Jesus comes, it's going to happen so quickly, we're not going to have time to do anything else. We're not going to have time to persuade anybody. They're not going to have time to make a decision. It's over. And as I've warned you time and time and time again, as we finish this book of Revelation tonight, I've got to stop and tell you one more time. If you have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ today, and you will not accept Christ as your personal Savior, if the trumpet of God sounds tonight, the rapture of the church takes place, according to Scripture, you'll have no other chance to accept Him. You will buy into a lie. You will bow at the feet of the Antichrist. Well, why is that, Brother Kyle? Scripture says that if you deny Christ today and you've heard the gospel, that you'll believe a lie. Well, what is that lie? That the Antichrist is God. Today is the day of salvation. Why wait? Why in the world wait? Now, we now see John quote Jesus in verses 12 through 16. Jesus once again lets the reader know the quickness of His coming. He said this like three times in this scripture that we read tonight. Do you understand how quick Jesus is coming? I don't understand. I mean, I know it's quick, but I don't understand how quick. But He's told us three times. And with Him is coming the reward that He has promised all throughout Scripture. So we're not going to have to wait. When the trumpet of the Lord sounds, He's coming, and He's bringing His reward with Him. Now, some of these rewards we're aware of, and some of them will be revealed when He comes. Now, we will be rewarded for our just service to Him. Verse 13 tells us it is that Christ is truly qualified to say what He is saying, and that we can know that what He is saying is true. He says, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. Do you understand what that means? There is no other like Him. And there never, ever will be again. There is nothing like Jesus. As I thought through this scripture, let me ask this. Any of y'all ever had a bad day? Hey, CK, you ever had a bad day? Did you have a bad day this week? Hey, listen, I've had some bad days. Miss Edie, you know what's just amazing? It doesn't matter how bad they get. I'll just walk by myself. Sometimes it's just upstairs. Sometimes it's out back, and I'll sit there and listen to the wind chimes. I don't know what you do, but I sing to myself. And I sound good when I'm singing to myself, Jeff. You know what? You can relate, can't you?
Yes, sir.
You know what I sing? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. The fragrance after the rain. Hey, listen. Do you know what that does? It settles me. Church, I can't explain it. There's something about his name. Jesus is the Son of God. Just speaking his name calms my every concern, my every need. Listen, it doesn't matter how bad life gets, just speaking that name. Now, I've spoken a lot of names in my life, and it hasn't done anything for me. But when I speak the name of Jesus, a peace and a calm comes over me, and there's no other way to explain it other than he is the Son of God. And he has the ability to calm us in a way that nobody else can. Do you know why? Because he is the Alpha, the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is righteous. Now, we see in verse 14 and 16, Jesus desires that we as Christians keep our lives clean. Kind of goes along with this morning's message, doesn't it? Jesus desires that we keep our lives clean. Warren Wiersbe says the contrast here in verses 14 and 16 through 16 is between those who do God's commands and enters the city and those who reject his word and are excluded from the city completely. It's not likely that those who do his commands are a special or elite group of saints. We're not. The phrase is similar to them that overcome the and characterizes all the people of God. Obedience to God's word is a mark of true salvation. Did y'all hear that? Did you hear what Warren Wiersbe said? Let me read it to you again. Obedience to God's word is a mark of true salvation. Are you going to be perfect? No, not while you're here on this earth. But obedience. God is more interested in your obedience than he is your sacrifice. Do you hear me? Y'all with me tonight? We're about done. Jesus then tells us that he personally sent this angel to testify to John the things written in the book of Revelation. And then he qualifies his position of authority to do so with the lineage all the way back to David. And then he talks about, you know, the bright and morning star. The bright and morning star refers to Jesus' universal name. Warren Wiersbe says this, y'all, this is good. The root is buried in the ground where no one can see it. The star is in the heavens where it can be seen by all. He is the root and he is the bright and morning star. He is our bright and morning star. Do you know how we can relate to this? Any of y'all ever talk to non-believers, the lost? And they'll look at you and they'll say, I just don't see Jesus the way you see him. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Do you know why? Because to him, he might be the root, but you can't see the root. Can't see it. Jesus is the root in the Old Testament. I mean, he is the foundation. He is the root of the tree. But he's also the bright morning star. And I don't know what happened in your life when you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, but I started seeing things a whole lot different when Jesus came into my life. When Jesus came into my heart, I mean, it was, I wasn't perfect. I was not a saint. I still did things I should not do. But listen to me. When Jesus came into my life, my world changed. And I could see Christ in everything, especially the creation. Romans 1:20 came to life to me. God reveals himself through his creation. It came to life to me, your pastor. Now, verse 17, we see an invitation in this verse. Look at verse 17. Verse 17 says, both the Spirit and the bride say, come. Anyone who hears should say, come. And the one who is thirsty should come. This is what I so hope the lost world sees. Whoever desires should take the living water as a gift. As a gift. Now, verse 18 and 19 have been widely debated throughout the years as to whether we are to understand that this book is not to be added to or taken away from, or is it that the beginning and the end of the Bible itself. That nothing in the Bible should be added to or taken away from. Now, understanding that the Bible is the written Word of God, I would think it's safe to say that neither the Bible in its entirety or the book of Revelation should be augmented by man. Do you hear me? This is a big debate. This was a debate on campus when I was on school. Well, you know, is God referring to the book of Revelation? You shouldn't add to it or take it away from it? Or is he talking about the whole Bible? I'd say the whole Bible. And the whole Bible includes the book of Revelation. Right? It does. Why does this need to be said? Why does he need to say this? Why does John record this? Because man has many times through history added to and taken away from scriptures as it suits man. Who was infamous for doing this? The Pharisees. I mean, in a heartbeat. Who was he up against the last year of his ministry? The Pharisees. Who does this go on today, people adding to and taking away from scripture? Any of y'all sitting around your house on Saturday morning? Yes, I'm here representing Jehovah's Witness or the Mormons. I would like to tell you the new prophetic vision from God. But really? Scripture tells me that I'm not allowed to let you in my house, so I'm going to stand outside and ask you this. But do you understand, sir, what progressive revelation is? What do you mean, progressive revelation? Progressive revelation is something that never ends. It's progressively, it continues. Are you a progressive revelationist? Well, I believe the Bible. Well, do you believe the Book of Mormon, or do you believe your magazines and your priests have prophetic visions from angels and this, that? Oh, yeah. I said, that's not scriptural. When you say something, anything, is equal to or supersedes the Word of God, you're a heretic. Let me say that again. If you tell me that something is equal to or supersedes the Word of God, you are a heretic. Now, the guy who's coming this Sunday to preach, he used to scare me, y'all. I'm telling you, he's serious. He's a serious preacher. But he came to my office one time, and he's the professor of cults and religion at the school I went to. And he told us in class one day that when the Southern Baptist Convention was out west, when they were in Utah, they went to the Mormon Tabernacle. to walk through and view it. I don't know why, but he did. And as they were going through the tabernacle, they're supposed to be the actual plates that the angel showed John Smith or Joseph Smith are supposed to be hidden there. So Dr. White, serious guy. I mean, he doesn't crack a joke. Brian, he doesn't crack any jokes. He said he walked up to his tour guide there close to the end. And he said, hey, I'm a pastor. Tour guide looked at him, wasn't real impressed, Brother Frank. He said, okay. He said, I want to see them plates. He said, sir, what are you talking about? He says, I know they're here. Joseph Smith said they're in the tabernacle. I've heard through the grapevine that they're here in the tabernacle. I want to see the plates. And he said, sir, you can't see the plates. He said, are the plates really here? I mean, he was getting this tour guide down the road. Listen, do you know why so many times in Scripture angels are given their place, but especially Paul? And if God doesn't change my mind, when we finish the life of Christ on Wednesday night, we're going to follow the epistles of Paul, same way we're doing the life of Christ. Do you know why Paul addresses that so many times? Do you know why he talks to, I think it's the Corinthian people, about, listen, it doesn't matter if angels or anybody, who was it that brought this message to Joseph Smith, supposedly? An angel. Where did this precept come from? Where did this precept, where did this come from? Well, it sounds to me like he's trying to make himself look like John, doesn't it? He wants to make himself equal to what the book of Revelation is talking about. Except one factor. It never ends. It's progressive with the new leader and what he has to say. Church, does that sound pharisaical to you? There needs to be an end. There has to be an end. This is the complete work of God. We don't need anything else. Amen? It served its purpose. It stayed through the course of time. Amen? I don't need anything else. Now, verse 20 and 21 are the closing words of both John and Jesus. Verse 20 says this, he who testifies about these things says, yes, I'm coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. Now, church, let me ask, what more can be said? What more can be said after reading this last chapter? What more can God do or say to persuade man to come to Him? God has in this book exasperated every known reason that man should accept His Son as their personal Savior. And every saved person should serve the Son until He calls them home or raptures His church. There is nothing more that man can say to be persuaded to accept or to serve. So this conclusion of this book begs only one question. Will you now, are you ready to accept Christ as your Lord? And will you, Christian, serve Him boldly until He comes for you? Those are the only two questions that beg to be answered. Will you accept Him? And will you serve Him? Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we love You and we praise You. And Lord, we thank You again. We thank You that You loved us enough to leave this book recorded for us throughout the years, Lord, throughout history. God, that we might not be caught off guard. Lord, we thank You. Lord, help us to be a bold sounding alarm for this world, this lost world, to hear You. Help us to be willing to serve You until You come. God, we pray for each and every lost person who's in our lives. Lord, I pray that You'd help us that we might let our light so shine that others would be drawn to You, not because of anything that's in us, but, Lord, because of who is alive in us, and that's You. You are the living water, God. You are the tree of life. You are the bright morning star. You're everything that every man should desire. God, help them to see you in us. In Jesus' name I do pray. Do you need to come this evening? The altar's open for you.